Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
How's it going?
Happy post-Grammys.
Post-D-Malone Grammys. Well, we'll be talking a little bit about the Grammy Awards this week, because the Grammy Awards just happened.
Sunday night.
And as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and Grammys on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, Katie and I will be talking about our experience at the 2019 Grammy Awards. I was on the red carpet, Katie was backstage, and both of us were chatting up the stars.
Plus, we've got an interview with Ally Brooke. She dropped by recently for a fun chat about her new single, Low Key, featuring Tyga. We talked about the making of its music video, how she's coming along with her new music in general, and how she wants to contribute to the music industry to help her fans feel good about themselves and positive and confident. Obviously, off to a great start. And as this show airs during Valentine's Day week, she shares some of her favorite love songs.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
All right, let's talk Grammys.
Grammys. And we literally have no script for this part of the show.
You might think we never have a script, but we do.
Just seems that thrown together. So as we said earlier, I was on the red carpet along with Desiree Thompson, who is the news editor at Vibe. We were taking turns interviewing people on the carpet, and then Katie was backstage in the press room.
Correct. So talk to me, Keith, about some of the biggest stars that stopped by and talked to you.
Or walked past me.
And yeah. Tell me the people that breezed on by. No, tell me.
There's a lot of those.
I already know about some of your biggest interviews of the night, but the Pop Shop listeners would love to know who you were most excited about making a stop on the carpet.
Well, I was really happy that BTS came by.
Of course.
And I think they skipped a lot of press, but they made sure to come by Billboard, so I was thankful for that. And it was fun to chat with them, and got a small update about how their new album's coming along. They didn't really say a whole lot, but I think they're being cryptic, very teasing. It was a big deal for them to be at the Grammy Awards for the first time, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
There was a number of interviews I did. I talked to, some country folks and, a lot of folks. But towards the end of the carpet, and I kind of already described this to Katie, but I'll describe it for you because you haven't heard this yet, to people listening. Towards the end of the red carpet in terms of time, the show is about to start at 5 p.m. Pacific, and the carpet is kind of closing at like 4:30, really, because you got to really be off the carpet and get inside, because it's still, even if you're on the carpet at 4:30, you're not going to really be inside if you aren't hustling down that carpet.
Right.
So there tends to be this like mass exodus of like A-listers like running past you. So that's when you see like Lady Gaga and Mark Ronson float by, and BB Rexha floated by. There goes Cardi. It was just this parade of people walking past us.
Yeah.
Not stopping.
Yeah.
Not even trying. Oh, there's Shawn Mendes. Oh, there's go Camila. Oh, bye, Ricky Martin.
These
with
are
your
friends
son.
Of the Pop Shop, even.
Friends of the pop. Friends of the podcast. Just didn't have time for Billboard.
I mean, that's to your point. Maybe they should show up an hour earlier.
Yeah.
So they can do all.
And
the
I'm not trying to say that like Billboard doesn't have the juice. It was more about. It was like they didn't have time to stop and talk.
And literally every outlet is there, too. I mean, right. Everyone is on the Grammy carpet.
I was rolling to a point here. So I'm just standing there, and like we were like, oh, should we get ready for so-and-so? They're walking towards us. I'm like, no, they're leaving. Nope. Oh, they're not stopping. Oh. And then, a producer or someone in our, little interview section was like, oh, it's Dua Lipa. I'm like, oh, yeah, Dua's not going to stop either.
Two-time nominee, Dua Lipa.
Friend of the podcast. I'm like, oh, she's running in just like the rest.
Two-time podcast guest.
She's running in just like the rest of them. And then all of a sudden, her publicist in front of her like guides her right over to us, and she walks up. I'm like, oh, well, hello, Dua. She's like, hi. And I said, I wasn't quite ready for you because I did not think you were going to stop for me. And she was like, well, of course, it's nice to see you again. I'm like, she remembers me and I'm not even ready. And I'm sure she won't necessarily mind this. You didn't see this on video, but we started to do the interview and I noticed that it appeared that she had like a bit of lipstick on her teeth. And I said, okay, well, we're going to stop this video. We're going to stop the interview because I think you might have a little bit of lipstick on your teeth and I don't think you want that in the video. And she turned around and she checked. And I could have just been looking at it wrong, but she had like sort of a nude lipstick on. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't know if that's lipstick or not. So let's just make sure it's not because right. God help you if like some trolls on the internet see it.
Right.
So we started over and hopefully, you know, she was appreciative of
and
that.
And obviously it's Dua Lipa, so she looked lovely. She's perfect.
She's a supermodel. I mean, at the end of it, I said, you know, have a great night. And like, you just look, you know, I said, you look amazing. And I'm like, God, why did I say that? Ladies don't want to hear that. That just seems so weird or something.
Actually, I think that's probably the only venue where it's fine is when you specifically get glammed up for the evening. To say somebody looks amazing is a lovely thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
just don't say it to your coworkers like at work.
I mean, as soon as I said it, I felt like, oh, is that appropriate? Because, you know, so many women don't like to be asked about their fashion. I didn't ask her what she was wearing.
Well, I don't think they don't like to be asked strictly about their fashion. And that's it.
I asked about how do you feel about being nominated for Best New Artist? I asked about her new song. I asked about how the new album is going. And at the very end, I said, you look amazing. And then I let her go into the wild.
And then I got to talk to her later that night.
Oh, really?
Because she came backstage after she won Best New Artist and performed with St. Vincent. And she also previously in the pre-televised ceremony won Best Dance Recording along with Silk City, a.k.a. Diplo and Mark Ronson, for Electricity. So first two Grammys all in one fell swoop.
Two for two.
Incredible buzzy performance. And then she came back to chat with us. And like Keith, she said, nice to see you again, because we've interviewed her twice now, or I've interviewed her twice. You've interviewed her more times because of carpets, etc.
Yeah, but you've also seen her at the BBMA.
Oh, that's right. At Billboard Music Awards for sure. But, so she's just like the best pretty much. And she also got to finish her acceptance speech backstage because she got cut off in the telecast. The music started rolling on her. She kept talking and then a commercial just popped on in.
Damn those commercials.
So if you look for my article on what you didn't see on TV on Billboard.com from the Grammys, that has the ending of Dua Lipa's acceptance speech that she didn't get to say on the camera.
Is that the question that you asked her?
No, I asked her about why it was important for her to say that women have really stepped up this year. After last year's controversy with outgoing Recording Academy CEO and president Neil Portnow. And she, of course, because she's a lovely person, had the most diplomatic, sweet answer about how women, she was happy to share in this whole experience with such talented women, that there were so many more women that were nominated than Best New Artist, etc. And, left out any, you know, trash talking.
Yeah, that's all in reference to what Neil Portnow a year ago in the press room at the Grammy Awards saying that women, you know, will step up if you want to have a bigger part of the music industry or whatever. And then Dua, in her acceptance speech on stage last night for New Artists, said, well, I guess women stepped up.
Specifically step up, yeah. And finally, the other thing backstage that I especially loved was I got to see our friends Pasek and Paul because the Greatest Showman won in the pre-televised ceremony.
For compilation for visual media?
Correct.
Something like that?
Yeah. And of course it won. I mean, it's like the most blockbuster of blockbustery soundtracks of all time.
Yeah, well, it was up against Call Me By Your Name.
It was. Sorry, Call Me By Your Name. A personal Keith fave. But I got to ask them a question and Justin looked at me as like, hey, you! Like, remembered talking to me for the podcast last year.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so I asked them about, you know, the incredible chart success of the album, you know, kind of contributing to the success of the movie overall and turning it into a cultural phenomenon, and they had a very lovely answer about that.
Did anyone ask them about how the adaptation of the movie into a stage musical is coming along?
I'll tell you what, the press room, Keith's been in these press rooms before, they're very weird, and people ask or don't ask questions. I got up to ask my question figuring I'd be one in a line of people. I was the person who asked a question and then they dismissed them because nobody else went up to the microphone.
Whoa.
I would have asked about many other topics if I had known that no one else was going to ask a question. It's bizarre.
Oh,
you really never know. You never know who like is going to get the biggest line up of people. Like there was a few artists that like I was bummed that I didn't get up and ask a question of. And then there were some where I was like, whoa, I couldn't have even gotten a word in edgewise if I had wanted to with some other people. So it's interesting.
Well, that's weird. Crazy press room.
Well, overall, great Grammys, I thought. I really enjoyed the performances, especially this year, I have to say, because they were just epic. There were a lot of great ones.
A lot of women.
There were a lot of ladies. It's probably not a coincidence.
It's ladies' night, and the feeling's right.
Well, now it's time for our interview with Ally Brooke. She came by the office recently to talk all about her new song, Low Key, featuring Tyga, and its glam music video. Plus, we talked about where she's at with her new music in general, and if it could end up as a solo album, and so much more. And because it is Valentine's Day week, we talked to her about some of her favorite love songs, and she even started singing a little bit.
We didn't even have to, like, you know, pay her the normal fee.
Exactly. Little did we know we were going to get, like, a performance in our conference room.
It's like 3 seconds. Let's not get crazy.
I mean, it was awesome, though. So take a listen to our interview with Ally Brooke. Low-key, you should really get to know me.
Welcome back to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Ally Brooke.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be back.
How are you?
I am fan friggin' tastic. That's how I am.
Fan friggin', is that like the specific?
Totally. It's like the perfect exaggeration.
Yes, it is.
I am so happy.
We are talking to you before the big song comes out, but this is being listened to after everyone has already heard Low Key. So in the minds of the fans, Low Key is out there. How excited is that? Oh, why you are so fantastically excited? Yeah. Because this song is coming?
Yes, I am so excited. It's been a long journey, and it's been a long process, and everybody's been so patient. So I'm so happy that my debut single is coming out. It's just unreal, honestly. I can't describe it, but I'm just very, very happy, and I hope everybody loves it.
You know, we are lucky that we've already heard the song. It's fantastic, and it's been trapped in both of our heads for days.
God. Like this morning, no joke. Like this morning, I was in the shower, and I'm like, low key. I'm like,
and then we compared notes when he got in. He's like, I was singing in the shower. I was like, I was singing in my living room.
So, oh my God.
It's a full on earworm. Don't be sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
That's a great thing.
That's a terrible problem to have when it's stuck in your head.
Oh, totally. I'm very happy. It's working.
And when that song came to you, is that kind of like why it stuck with you too? Did it get stuck in your head?
Oh yeah.
How did that whole process happen?
It's a story, actually. So I was prepared with another single. So we were almost ready to press the go button on that, but that one had concert revisions and we couldn't get it perfect yet. And my manager, Charles Chavez, he calls me and he's like, Ally, oh my gosh, I found this record. I just listened to it and it's incredible. All these amazing songwriters and producers are a part of it. John Ryan, Julian Bonetta, Ian Kirkpatrick, Teddy Geiger. He's like, you need to hear it. And if we can get it for you, it's going to be your single. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Let me hear it. So he played it for me the next day. And as soon as I got done, like with the first listen, I was like, wow, it was a pretty magical moment where I felt like, this is it. This is her. I found
her.
I found the one.
I love it.
And, you know, because I've been in the studio for months and months and months, like a long time, you know, just trying to find the right record. And the day's finally here. So I'm so happy. We all really just love it, and it feels like me, and that's what matters.
Yeah, we actually didn't have the credits to the song, so when you just said
Ooh,
Julian Bonetta and Teddy
of
Geiger,
people,
I'm like, whoa.
It's kind of insane, and it's cool because I've known Julian. He was in the beginning of the group. He worked with us, so it's kind of full circle there. And John Ryan as well, and Ian did a few songs on the last album, so it's kind of full circle, and the list of names are... There's some heavy hitters, so I just feel so fortunate.
Wow. It's a pretty cool sort of like solo intro, too, to be like, you need to get to know me, you know? It works on a few levels,
totally,
too.
I love that. And someone else said that the other day, and I really like that. You know, it's really cool to kind of come from one place and be known as something or like a little fraction of something. But now, you know, I'm a whole being in person, and it's a really cool thing to say, hey, get to know me.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Just low key.
You right. Know, I mean, low key, y'all.
Just very subtle.
Well, Tyga is featured on the song. That's a huge feature.
I know. It's still crazy for me to think about or to know. I'm like, wow, Tyga, that's so dope. Yeah, so it was really crazy because actually the song, when I first heard it, it didn't have an opening for a rap feature. Mm. So we originally, Charles and I thought, oh, it's just going to be your song, like Allie. And then I had a meeting with Julie Greenwald and Craig Coleman of my label, Atlantic Records. And we were just talking. They were so excited. And they said, hey, we really think a rapper could be in this record. Mm-hmm. We think Tyga would be so amazing. And we were blown away and was like, wow, yeah, that would be freaking phenomenal.
You're like, can you make that happen?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, can you make it happen?
Do you have his number?
Yeah. But the thing was, on top of that, we were getting ready to shoot a video within days. Mm. So I was like, we need to, one, get him on the record, and two, get him in the video within days. Not sure how that's going to happen. And then magically the stars aligned.
Wow.
And they sent me the record with him on it, and I was blown away. He freaking annihilated that song in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And I love his music. I'm a fan of his music. He's had such an outstanding year, and yeah, it was just perfect timing. And honestly, he made the record so much better. He brought a new life to it. And he was at the video. So cool, so nice, so humble, down to earth.
Was that amazing when you first got a chance to meet him? Was on the video shoot?
I think so. I know.
You're like, maybe in the past.
Oh, yeah,
like,
sure. A red carpet.
Yeah, exactly. I know we did once. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot. But basically, yes. Like, to actually fully
it's like, don't
meet
come
him
for Allie if she forgot that she didn't met him before.
I know, right? Because so much has happened. But no, basically, yes. Like, the first time it was me. We were able to have a conversation.
One-on-one.
Collaborating one-on-one.
That doesn't always happen when you have like a rap feature. Like sometimes the rapper can't show up
totally
for the video shoot.
Yeah.
And the fact that you were able to turn that around in so few days.
Yeah.
That says something about the song and the collaboration that it was all set it kind of meant to be probably.
Absolutely. You know? And that's how I feel with this record. It's really incredible.
The video, you know, speaking of the video, it's super glam. There's choreography.
It's gorgeous.
Lots of costume changes.
Thank you.
You're glowing in it.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Thank you.
Can you walk us through the concept of the video and how it came to be and, you know, who thought of what? And
yes. So that's a story, too. We just have stories with this record, and I love that.
Luckily, we're here for a podcast.
Yeah,
tell
yeah,
there's stories
so
you want.
I'll tell you the tea. No, just so we had the record, and we were given several treatments. I looked at all of them. I think there's over, like, 15.
Wow.
And, yeah, and Charles and I, my manager, he talked to me, and he said, hey, this video director named Mike Ho is really incredible. He knows how to highlight an artist in the best way, and he also, his cinematography is really precise and stunning. So I'd love for you to meet him. And I was like, heck yeah. We met, we clicked instantly, and it felt like we had known each other for so long. We just related on so many levels of like music, our love for videos, and even God. It was just so awesome. So then and there, I felt like, oh, his energy is so great. We mix so well, and we got a treatment from him. And we had, I think we went through like 5, 7, something like that, revisions of it, because it started off as something totally different. So it was, it was me and it was a guy, and I was like singing for him and dancing kind of for him. And it's just this whole scene that kind of evolves, and at the end we kind of end up together. It's kind of the same concept, but a little different. It's a little more, I feel like, grittier and maybe a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to kind of lighten it up, and I wanted more.
There's definitely humor in the video.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's even some humor in it too, which is funny. But basically, it was a collaborative effort between me, my label, and Charles. We just wanted a concept. I knew from the beginning, I was like, I want this to be a story. I don't want it to just mm-hmm. be me in front of lights singing. I want it to be a concept. So we basically, after several revisions, after agreeing and disagreeing on so much between, you know, all of us together, we finally came to something that we loved. And it was basically a story of me being in a dance room, you know, getting ready for a big audition. Mm. And then my friend, you know, comes up to me and she's like, oh, you're not dating, right? I'm like, oh, no. But really, you know, we kind of evolve within the story and we do have like a secret little love there. And so I go from being in the audition to kind of just talking to him, noticing he's there. And then in the chorus, there's a lot of like performance shots and there's that story of me auditioning, being there, and then he comes in.
Suddenly
and
he shows up
fluid.
And knows all of the
choreography. Exactly, exactly. That's, I think that was one of the notes, like, suddenly he comes in and he seems to know it out of thin air, or something like that.
I was like a true musical, he suddenly knows all the
right?
steps.
I mean, yes. He was at her rehearsal.
He was watching.
So he was like, know. Let me see the move.
He also seemed to have five male friends that all knew the same dance moves to show up at the same time.
I know. Because it was a big audition that we were all getting ready for.
I absolutely love it.
So then we kind of evolve into that and then more into the story of how we do have that connection. It's kind of like me being in power and saying, hey, you know, you should get to know me. There's so many different elements of the video that I love.
It was very sweet, and it was also very beautiful at the
Thank
same time.
You. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, when I was watching the video, I was like, wow, this setting is like really cool. It's so beautiful. Where in the world is she at? And I started Googling because I didn't know where it was, and I didn't want to.
We fall down rabbit holes.
We fall down rabbit holes
all the time.
So I'm like, I'm googling, this must be a hotel, or is it like a venue? And I finally figured out it was the Los Angeles Theater.
Yes, good job. You get a prize.
Thank you. Oh, really? Thank you. Yay! In downtown Los Angeles, and I was googling the history of it, and I saw that you know lots of movies were filmed there, like Fight Club and Charlie's Angels.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. That's
oh, but we found something else.
We found
too.
Something else.
Oh, tell me.
Mariah Carey's Heartbreaker video was filmed there too.
Yeah. Yes, Queen Mariah.
See?
That is awesome. I'm in good hands, y'all.
You're in great company.
You're great company.
You're following in the footsteps of some legends there. So you didn't really know kind of about the history when you shot it there?
No, because that was also a location I think we got like 2 days before.
Amazing.
This
all did not look last minute, by
no,
the way. Like
it
nothing
not.
About
I know,
it.
Which
looked
was
last minute.
So it was so amazing. And again, with this record, everything about it, the stars aligned.
Yeah.
So and I love that there's a story behind it. You know, mm-hmm. I like when things are a challenge and you have to figure out, you know, oh, how are we going to do this? It makes the end result so much greater mm-hmm. and the satisfaction at the peak level. but yeah, so I really didn't know much and I've never been there, never been to a show. You know, I've never been there. And I saw the photos and I thought, oh my gosh, this is spectacular. Mm-hmm. And then when I got there, it was even more stunning in person. And I remember specifically when the director showed me the spot for where Tyga and I were going to be.
Those stairs.
The stairs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was like, what? I had a moment of geek out for sure. I was like, is this all for me? That's crazy.
Yes, it is.
So is it safe to assume that Low-Key is maybe part of a larger album project on the way?
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely part of a body of work.
A body of work, as we call them.
Body of work. you know, as far as like plans for an album, I think we're just going to see how this does mm-hmm. and then kind of go from there, probably do another single, maybe an EP, maybe an album. Eventually, of course, I mean, I want to do
There will
an album.
Be more music.
Yeah, there definitely will be. So I'm very looking forward to that. Mm. This will be the origin of it all.
Yes. And how that song that you mentioned that might have been the lead single, is that still like in the works? Is that still maybe coming?
Yeah, it's still such a great record. Okay. It's a bop. Like it'll randomly come on in like my computer or phone or whatever. And I'm like, that's a bop. So we'll see what happens with that. It's such a great record.
Do you have like a stockpile of songs that you're just sitting on basically?
Mm. Yes. So
like I have 64.
Oh, literally. I think it's somewhere around there, boo. Not too far.
That's what people don't understand necessarily. That's what happens.
Right? Yeah.
Like you have all these songs. You're like, I have all my babies. What do I do with
exactly,
them?
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, there are lots of records to choose from. Lots of songs that we're like, we love these. We know we want to use these for something. Maybe save it for an album, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I've been recording the solo music. I mean, how long has it been now since like that announcement? Like,
since the last show with
Fifth
Harmony was like May,
in the summer.
Yeah,
last summer.
Yeah, and then I think, yeah, and we did that announcement in March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like almost a
coming
year.
Up on a year, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a very long time, and it was a lot of patience within that process. Of course, I just wanted to go, mm-hmm. but the greatest lesson to learn is just wait until the right one comes along, you know?
Yep.
And just take your time. But I'm very, very happy that I did because I couldn't imagine any other record.
Yeah. Wow. When you're working on this music, is there like a feeling or a vibe that you're really going for? Like when you record it, you're like, that's it. Like, I know it. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I love records that really speak to me or move me. So this one, I just loved the confidence in the record. Mm. I think that's what really spoke to me. Kind of growing up, I kind of struggled a little bit with confidence. I mean, especially in the group. Mm. So to have this record, it felt so much like me. Feeling that confidence and, you know, getting back to who I was within this time frame of becoming an official solo artist, just amazing. And I loved the melodies, the catchiness. I love the message. Low-key, you should really get to know me. I mean, that's amazing. So shout out to all the writers. I did not write that, so I can give them all credit.
You're like, get to know me. Because we thought we were watching it and we were listening to it. We're like, you know, this is actually like a really like, you know, a different kind of message in a way. It's like a really positive message. It's like, let's just get to know each other.
Exactly.
You know?
It's
like,
but it's tricky because it sounds very sexy.
It sounds very like sultry.
Uh-huh, and sultry, uh-huh. But you what you're really saying is like, hey man, like take like, a pause, look at my body, and like look at my mind.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And I love that message. And that's so who I am. I'm like, you know, like I feel good about myself and I want people to, when they hear the record, when they sing it, I want them to feel good about themselves and feel good saying like, you know, hey, I can be in my own element. I can be sexy if I want to. I can be cool if I want to. But hey, just get to know me and y'all can interpret that however as one may please.
You know, as we're doing lots of research, you know, for this interview, you know, we were listening to your other songs that you had released, like some of your collaborations that came out before this. And there was Vamanos.
Vamanos.
Which is such a fun song.
Thank you. I love that song.
Which I'm pretty sure was all in Spanish, right?
Yep.
You know, might you have any more Spanish language tracks in the future?
Oh, yes. I hope so. I mean, I plan to because that's my heritage and who I am. And my family was so happy. They're like, finally, mija, you're on a song where you're singing Spanish. You know, on my own, it's totally different. So that was so much fun. And I love the record because the translation for it is like literally just talks about how I, as a woman, can dance for myself. It's not just for the men. I'm in my own element. I'm having fun. And, like, he says, come on, but to the bed, no. Like, you're in control of yourself. I think that's awesome.
Yes.
But, yeah, I definitely, that is in my future, so do more Spanish.
And wow. The theme seems to be pop music with a great positive message.
Yeah.
Across all it these songs.
Like
yes.
I love that. And that's what I want to contribute to the music industry, mm-hmm. and I want people, again, when they hear my music, to feel good about themselves and to feel positive and confident. Like, that's some of my favorite records have been from, you know, the entertainers of the world, the Jennifer Lopez's, Justin Timberlake's, Britney Spears, Beyonce. Like, when they perform and sing, they're confident, mm-hmm. and they feel good about themselves, and I want people to feel the same, so I hope that y'all do.
You know, you mentioned a little bit about, like, it's been almost a year since you guys announced that you were going to go on a hiatus. What is it like going through this process solo for the first time, like, where you're... It's like, there's pros and cons, right? When you were with a group, you had people to lean on to make decisions and, you know, but maybe you didn't get to make the one you wanted. Now you get to make your own decisions, but now it's all on your name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what has that whole process been like?
For me, I don't know. I guess a lot of people don't know, but I started way before the group, way before X Factor. Mm-hmm. I was out in LA just trying to make it with my parents. I mean, doing like dingy little recording sessions and, you know, just trying to be an artist. So this is full circle.
It's like a
for
return
me.
To that almost. Except for in better recording studios.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Slightly more high class.
So it's been such an incredible experience and I've had to go through a lot to get to this point. Mm. I mean, finding my identity, finding my confidence again and finding, I mean, my voice, literally like my singing voice and how I wanted that to sound, but also my voice as a woman, having opinions, speaking up. And it's just this whole evolution of that. So right now I'm at a place, I am so overjoyed with the team that I have, the label that I have, the people in my circle. It makes such a difference. They're so positive and they're so real, and they collaborate with me. You know, it's never like you're doing this and that's it.
Right.
It's like, hey, we think you should do this, or we love this idea. What do you think? And we go from there. And most of the time we agree with each other. And it's just so awesome to feel empowered. And I'm just a new woman now, so I'm able to be confident in what I'm doing and be supported even through, even if I'm like scared or nervous, I'm there to be supported, whether it's from my manager, Charles, or my other manager, Will, to my parents. It's all a family. So I'm actually in just the happiest space ever. I find this being so positive and liberating.
Wow.
So you're not alone. Because you're not solo, but you're not alone.
You're solo, but you have support.
Absolutely. And of course, like my fans are just the best, and they make me smile so much. And I know they've been so patient. I mean, they're like, girl, where's your music? Like everybody else's.
Fans are always like, as soon as
Loki's going to come out Friday, and or when like, it comes
where's
out.
Where's the next
yeah,
one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. But I understand it too, because it's been so long, and I've taken my time.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been so patient, and they've been rooting me on through my songs that I've dropped, and they've been there to just send positive messages and be funny and sassy, and they're my family, and they're my team. So I'm so glad that I can finally give them my single.
Amazing.
And
lastly, we're coming up on Valentine's Day. You're like our Valentine's Day episode.
That is awesome.
So we were wondering, what are some of your favorite love songs
that are not your own?
You can say your own too. I'm fine with it.
No, I'm just joking.
I love Bumano's.
Right? Just joking.
Loki, it's an amazing love song.
LOL. So I'm a huge like sucker for love. I love, and I'm such a romantic. I love the old school love songs, so like Taylor Dane's I'll always love you.
Oh,
love
you can sing Taylor Dane.
That's kind of how she sings.
Keep going.
We couldn't have asked for anything
Dion,
more than that.
Because You Love Me.
Yes. Diane Warren written.
Of course.
Song, right?
I think she might have written the Taylor Dane one.
Oh,
too.
Did she? Oh, maybe you just love Diane
yeah,
Warren
wrote,
love songs.
She wrote Love Will Lead You Back. Oh, just
someday
oh, yeah.
I just know it. Love Will Lead You Back to My Heart.
Yes, that's
that
is right.
Such a beautiful yep. song.
Such a bop.
Have you met Taylor Dane yet?
No, but I need to.
You should
I
just tweet
really,
her. Just tweet
maybe
her.
Maybe I
it
should. Me and my parents would freak out so hard. I also love anything Frank Sinatra. So Just the Way You
Super
Look Tonight.
Mm.
Super old school. Nat King Cole, of course. L-O-V-E. That's a great song.
These are great choices.
When a man loves a woman. Yes. Michael Bolton.
Ali Brooks sings the classics.
Yes, the classics. Guys, please, whoever's listening out there, please just preserve the classics. 70s, 60s, 80s, like they're the best.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about the LA theater that Aerosmith had filmed a video. We're like,
oh
she's
my gosh,
25.
Don't want to miss a thing.
See,
oh my gosh.
We're like, she's 25.
She
doesn't
know
Aerosmith.
Who Aerosmith is.
Oh, I do. I know wrong. Them. I am an old soul. Like, secretly, I'm an old soul. And it's because of the music my parents raised me on. And I'm forever thankful for that. They gave me the gift of music and the classics. So,
yes.
Gosh, I don't want to miss a thing. That song will make me cry. Mm. That song will make me just be all just my tears flowing down. But Diane Warren wrote that, and I've worked with her and know her, and I put out a song with her for the Weight Watchers, the WW campaign called The Truth Is In There.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's so amazing. The fact that I know her is just like mind-blowing to me.
You have to pull out
the person who wrote
her.
All those
she
songs.
She has so many
yeah.
stories. All
yeah.
those oh, that's incredible.
Okay, Allie just totally wrote your Valentine's Day playlist for you.
Yeah.
Put it all on Spotify.
Just take all those tracks.
Yes, take
make
them
it
all.
Happen. Oh, this has been so much fun.
Yes.
Oh, I've had a friggin' blast with you. I like friggin', I guess, so.
No, it's
friggin'.
It's
I really honestly.
And when you hear the bubbliness and brightness of Allie now, this is how she actually is.
In actual life.
And Katie and I have been saying, like, oh, we can't wait to talk to her because she's always so nice. She's like rainbows, lollipops, and unicorns wrapped into one. Every time I've ever talked to you, like on a red carpet or on the phone, you are always so sweet. Oh, like the first time I talked to you was a million years ago on like a Radio Disney.
Approximately a million years ago.
Mm-hmm. On a Radio Disney Awards red carpet when Fifth Harmony had just sort of like become Fifth Harmony.
Wow.
And look how far you've come. It's so great.
It's beautiful. And thank you for always being so nice to me and the support. Like it means the world. It really does. So thank you.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you guys. All right.
Thank you so much to Allie. We love having you on the show. She's just a ray of sunshine. We say it every time.
Come back and sing Taylor Dane whenever you want
Yes. Like her actually an open invitation to all artists. Sure. Come sing Taylor Dane on the Pop Shop.
Like Taylor Dane is like, can I come by and sing Taylor
Yes,
Dane?
Yes, 100% yes.
I always love you. I cannot do it as well as Taylor does. And now, let's do the chart stat of the week. Well, with Valentine's Day this week, love is in the air, and love has always been on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. You know, more than 100 songs with a variation of love in its title have reached number one on the Hot 100 since the chart launched in 1958.
Hmm.
Those include tunes like You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin' by the Righteous Brothers, Loving You by Minnie Riperton, actually it's Lovin' with an apostrophe, and Keep On Loving You by REO Speedwagon. And then we have all the standard, you know, love songs like Def Leppard's Love Bites, Mariah Carey's Love Takes Time, and Justin Bieber's Love Yourself. So there you have it, a quick Valentine's Day themed chart stat of the week. More than 100 songs with a variation of love in their title have hit number one on the Hot 100.
And if you think that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself.
Katie, do you have any favorite sort of love-ish theme songs since it is Valentine's Day?
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot. I actually a really dorky note about myself is that when my friends get engaged, I give them this mixtape that has all my favorite love songs on it. So I actually have my own personal compilation album. Hmm. Maybe I should submit it to the Grammys for next year.
as long as it goes with some visual media.
Yeah. But I think my favorite might be Wonderful by Adam Ant.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with that song.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's random.
It's so good, though.
Oh.
Everyone just go ahead and take a listen.
That was like the second time he had a career resuscitation.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, because Adam Ant was big in like the early 80s with Goody Two Shoes and Stand and Deliver. And then he disappeared. And then he came back with that dancey song called Room at the Top. And then he came back again later with the ballady AC kind of like adult contemporary adult top 40 song, Wonderful.
Hmm.
So he had like
sure
three
enough,
different...
it's from 95. I would have expected it was much earlier than that.
Like Room at the Top was like 89, 90 or something.
This is not a song that I knew in 1995. This is not a song that I was familiar with then. I 100% found out about it like maybe past college even.
Wow.
And fell in love with it. Hmm. Fell in love with it.
Love. Well, I don't really have a favorite love song. I'm not really good with like favorite love songs in general.
Do you want me to give you more then?
But
more mine?
Sure. I mean,
no.
I can default to like, you know, Madonna's Crazy for You. That's a good one.
That's a great one.
You know, nice ballad, you know, slow dance ballad.
Yeah.
You know, very primo 80s. But no, I don't really have.
I can tell the people my wedding song was too.
Was it John Mayer?
Definitely was not John Mayer. Don't think Dan would have approved. It was Lovely Day by Bill Withers.
Oh.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Didn't Justin Timberlake channel that in his Oscar opening number with
That sounds familiar. Yes, that definitely sounds familiar. He's always loved Bill Withers, too. I think they're from maybe the same place or something because he talks about him a lot.
Well, should we go out on Lovely Day by Bill Withers?
I will never deny that.
See you guys next time.
Bye. A lovely day.